Continuing on our series on what is a Christian, as we talk about the Lord and in our relationship with Him, and as Christians, what kind of impact that has on our life. So we're going through the book of 1 John. Grab your Bibles, please. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. As we continue to read on this, and in here, we turn around and we start talking about in this world. And as we're in this world, we got to realize that there's a lot of different voices that's around us. And there's a lot of opinions around us. And who to listen to? Who do we listen to? Well, if you go down through and you turn on the TV, there's various TV pastors and preachers that's on there, and you can turn on the radio and get a whole wide of different styles of preachers. One person came up to me and said, "Pastor," he goes, "there's this guy on the radio and he's a great preacher." I said, "Oh, good. You enjoy?" He goes, "I enjoy him very much." I said, "No." He goes, "You need to listen to him so you can get better." Well, thank you. And there's different styles and different personalities, and each one speaks to us slightly in a different way. But just because someone, then you throw in the internet, and there's all kinds of opinions and flavors on all of those things. And so we need to be careful. In John's day, as he's writing this letter, there were false teachers out and about. There were people who were traveling. Some of them said, "Look, we're from the apostles," right? That Paul sent us. Or we turn around and John sent us. And they come to find out that wasn't true. And in here, we're spreading false teachings. Others, he just came up with their own ideas and turned around and said, "Look, Jesus didn't really come. Jesus really wasn't God, or Jesus wasn't really a man." And they started teaching these falsehoods. And so much so that people were believing it. And so John is concerned over this. And so in chapter 4, John starts talking to him about these false teachers and what to do about it. It says, "Beloved," verse 1. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. They speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray as we look into your word this morning, Lord, that you just revealed to us truth. Lord, I pray the words I speak, Lord, will be not my words, but Lord, speak through me. That in here, Lord, allow the spirit to commune in our hearts, Lord, that what is being said is true and lines up with you. Lord, you be our teacher this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. We start talking here about testing the spirits. That in here, what we're talking about is behind all the teachers and all that, there is actually spiritual forces taking place. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Right? There are spiritual forces that's behind these things. Satan from the get-go was a liar. And in here he speaks of himself. He speaks lies into this world. If you're familiar with Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God says, "Look, don't eat of the tree." And Satan showed up and said, "Did God really say?" Right? He starts making you question and doubt the truth. Did God really say? Did God really mean it? And then Satan comes out blatantly and says, well, you know, God says that you touch it, you'll die. But you know what? You won't. You won't. He turns out and rejects what God has said. And he says, look, if you take of it, you'll be like God. And you'll know good and evil. And Satan takes those same tactics today. He turns around and makes you question the truth. Then he denies the truth. And then he interjects his own truth. And we need to be careful because we live in a world where truth isn't that valuable anymore. Have you noticed that? You know, the real fancy sort of term is that we call it sort of a postmodernism. Throw that out at a dinner party, you'll sound really important. Postmodernism. And what that just kind of means is that, you know, all the stuff you used to know, don't count anymore. That's kind of a loose translation. But they're saying everything is truth. You can have your truth, and I'll have my truth. I had a conversation with a young fellow. We're talking about some things, and he goes, well, that's your truth. Well, wait a minute. If something's true, then it's true. Isn't it? Right? But no, but the world today says, well, you can have your own truth. What's your own reality? You know, you see our kids in school, and you know, it used to be 2 + 2 is what? Oh, come on. It hasn't been that long. 2 + 2 is what? 4, right? You know, and so now, you know, but all this kind of new math is 2 + 2 is what, and how does that make you feel? Right? And we were down in New Hampshire. My nephews were taking some math, and I'm not too bad in math. And my wife has homeschooled our daughters, and she's taught math. And he was having a problem with his math. And so he came up and he goes, hey, Uncle John, can you help me? Sure. And we're talking about division. Right? And does anyone remember how you did long division? You know, you write the number and you do the little thingy and you write the numbers underneath it and 8 goes into this, right? And you go down through, right? I mean, and so I did. So he came up, he needed the answer, and I showed him how to do it. He goes, that's really easy. I said, yeah. He goes, but that's not what we do. And he goes, well, we have to do a math ladder. Has anyone seen the new math? And I'm reading the directions, and because I can't even explain it to you. I apologize. It was just a confusing thing. And he goes, at the end, you get the answer. I said, well, can't you just do this? And he goes, no, because they don't care about the answer. They want the whole process. And so I'm like, okay, well, you're on your own. You know, but in our lives, how many times have we seen where you knew something was right and wrong, and today people do whatever they want, and, well, that's wrong for you, but it's okay for me. Well, hold on. We have all these voices that's around us. We need to realize that not every voice we hear is from God. All teaching that we hear isn't from God. Even though they say, well, look, it's a pastor, or even though they talk, here's a scholar. If they go around and have titles and degrees and all those things, just because they have all those things doesn't mean they're speaking God's truth. And so in here, he starts off with this, talks about test the spirits. Test them. And in here, actually, he talks about there's 3 tests that I want to give you this morning to help you, as John was helping his readers, to understand and say, look, is what I'm listening to something worth listening to? It is easy to fall into these traps. I talked to a pastor up north, and he goes, pray for me. It was a church I used to pastor, and he goes, he knows I'm familiar with the church. I'm familiar with the person he's having some problems with. And he turns around and he says, look, what's the issue? And he talks about, yeah. He goes, pray for me. This guy is in the church, has got into where he's listening to some guys online, on the internet. And he's teaching and trying to tell people that, look, that some of you are saved by faith, and faith alone, and some others are saved by faith and works. That some people have to work for their salvation. He goes, I've sat down and talked to this guy, and he's wrong. I've showed him in the Bible that this is wrong. And yet, his reply is, well, that's your truth, and I have my own. Here's a guy, he is now, the guy is probably in his 80s at this point. And he's grown. He's had solid teaching. He goes, but within the last few years, who's been listening to? Has shaped his thoughts. And here he's been a faithful Christian for all these years, and now he's teaching things that's wrong. And the pastor's like, pray for me. And pray that this guy's eyes are open. So I want to give you some things that John talks about here. First one that he's talking about is testing the spirits. Right? The importance of testing the spirits. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we're told here that these were more fair-minded. These are the Berean Christians. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. Right? Here, the praise was with these Bereans that, look, they sought out the scriptures. They listened, and then they checked it. I think it was Ronald Reagan who said, trust but verify. Right? The most dangerous thing that I can probably do as a pastor is up here and say, look, you just need to believe it just because I said so. If I did that, then I would be doing my job. My folks went to a church and they ended up leaving. The pastor turned around and held up his Bible and says, you folks can't understand this without me. Run away from someone who's like that. My job is to help you understand it, but guess what? My job is not to get between you and God. And for you to say, Lord, speak to me. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. He can be your teacher. But search out, as I go through and I preach, and some of you have done this, say, Pastor, I don't understand what you're saying here. Well, let me hopefully explain it to you. Or, Pastor, I have a question on this. I love that. I love digging up these questions. And hopefully I can explain to you what I'm talking about. Hopefully my messages, that it's not just me talking, but hopefully it's me explaining the Word. My goal is to give you the Word of God so that you have it. You can hide it in your heart that you may not sin against Him. That you can tuck it away and God will use it to change you. It's not what I do. So search out the Scriptures to find out if these things are true. When you hear someone, if you're reading someone's book, search out and say, look, God, is this from you? Test it. Don't just take it for granted. And anyone who gets riled up, you know, I've known several pastors over the years, and there's been some guys that, well, if you question them, they all get all. Right? Who are you to question me? You're a Christian who's doing their job. You're a Christian who wants to know. Right? It's interesting. I've had jobs over the years, and you know, I've had bosses who are kind of just do what I tell you to do. And I had bosses who showed me and explained to me why I was doing what I wanted to do. Right? You know, the bosses I like to work for are the ones that will explain to me why I'm doing what I'm doing. Help me understand it. And by doing that, I become a better employee, right? Kind of the same thing. Is I understand God's Word. And I grow. And you can, if I can help you understand, or if the person you're listening to is there to help you understand God's Word, then you become a better Christian. But I'll tell you right off the bat, if someone turns around and says, don't question me, Just walk away. Just walk away. In this day and age, why would we need a test as well? It turns around in 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 through 4. He turns around and says, preach the word. This is Paul talking to a young man, Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. What Paul's telling this young man, Timothy, this young pastor, is preach the word. But you know what? Not everyone wants to hear. And in here, there are churches filled today with people who are hearing what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. And there's a difference between the two. Because as I look at God's words, it lifts me up and encourages me, but sometimes it steps on my toes and challenges me. Right? The Word of God works both ways. Now in here, the tendency is just make us all feel good. Just tell me I'm okay. Well, sometimes I'm not okay. I've talked to a lot of pastors over the years who've kind of given in. I was at a pastor's lunch and we're sitting around the table and we're talking about an issue where the Bible is really clear on. And the pastor said, you know what, I bless you guys because those guys who, if you guys have the freedom to preach the word, so be it. He goes, but if I preach that in my church, they'll kick me out. He goes, so God bless you as you preach God's word. He goes, but I can't. Here's a guy who had a congregation full of people who had itching ears, who wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. And he gave it to them, made them happy, kept his job, took his salary. I feel bad for people like that because they're going to have to stand before God and say, I didn't speak the truth. Right? Preach the word. Share God's truth. Search out the truth so you can know it. All right, I promise you three checks. All right, here's three tests. As you hear and listen, and I encourage you to apply this to me as well as anyone else. Three tests that John gives here to help you spot false teachers. All right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. It says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Really, what John's talking about here is the same thing that Jesus turned around and asked his disciples in the book of Matthew. He says, who do you say that I am? Jesus turned around and asked his disciples, who do they say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're this, and some say you're that. But what do you do about Jesus? Now, don't be fooled, because a lot of people will talk about God. Right? They'll talk about God, and I believe in God. Okay. That's a good start. James tells us the devil believes in God, too. Right? But just because someone believes in God doesn't mean they're right in their teaching. A lot of people talk about spiritual things. I'm a very spiritual person. This past week I had a conversation with a lady, and in the conversation she started asking some questions about the church. I said, why don't you come in here? She goes, well, are you one of those people who's going to try to save me? Are you going to try to save me? I said, well, I don't save anyone. I said, well, we talk about Jesus, our Savior. And she goes, well, I don't believe. She goes, I'm very spiritual. She goes, but I don't do this whole Jesus thing. Right? Ask yourself, what do they say about Jesus? Who do they say that he is? And just because someone says they believe in Jesus, we turn around and we talk about, for instance, say the Mormons. They say, oh, we believe in Jesus. Well, the Jesus they talk about, say Jesus and Satan were brothers. That Jesus is a son of, and there's many gods. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. You have the Jehovah's Witnesses who turn around and said that he was an angel. Jesus was an angel. No, the Bible says he was the Son of God. Those of you who come out Wednesday night, we were talking about our Bible verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And it's so easy because you can toss out a name. I don't know if I told you this. If so, I apologize, but I'll say it again. Because sometimes we get ideas. I was turning around, and a couple of years ago, I was ran across someone. We were talking about this guy, Bob. And I was talking about Bob, and I know Bob. And it was the same last first name and last name. I was like, oh, great. And they're like, yeah, you know, Bob, you know. I said, well, how did you meet Bob? He goes, oh, we used to bowl together. He said, man, that guy's a good bowler. I was like, wow, I didn't know that about Bob. And we started talking about in this conversation, I'm finding all this good, juicy stuff about Bob. Right? And I was like, oh, wow. Well, then he started talking about how, you know, well, Bob is, you know, this really tall, you know. Someone came in, how he was really tall, and I'm thinking, no, he's shorter than I am. But everyone's idea of tall is different, right? You know? And so I was like, okay, that kind of rubbed me a little different. Then he goes, oh, yeah, he goes, you know, and talking about his long brown hair. Well, wait a minute, Bob I know was completely bald. Completely bald. So finally, I said, oh, this ain't right either. And so we started to come to find out that he was talking about a different Bob. Haven't had the same first name, haven't had the same last name, but was two totally different people. Folks, as people turn around and say they talk about Jesus, and I believe in Jesus, are they talking about the same Jesus? The Bible tells us that Jesus was God, or is God. That before the foundations of the world, he existed. That he's part of the Trinity, part of the Father, part of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That Jesus was born of a virgin. That in here lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross as a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. That 3 days later, he rose from the grave. That he ascended on high. And someday he's going to come back. Is that the Jesus you're talking about? And if they're talking about some other Jesus, walk away. Don't listen to them. Right? So just as someone talks about the name of Jesus, ask yourself, just dig a little deeper. Are they still talking about the same Jesus of the Scriptures? Because Simon Peter turns around, because he's talking about all these other people say, well, I'm John the Baptist, I'm Elijah. He talks about all these other people says, and he turns around, Simon, who do you say that I am? And Simon got the answer right. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because what happens is, false teachers want to focus off of Christ, off of your sin, and that he died for your sin. So who are they talking about? All right? Right off the bat, is the Jesus they're talking about line up with the Jesus that the Bible talks about? And you'd be amazed when you start even looking at that. All of a sudden, you start weeding out a lot of people. You start weeding out a lot of churches. All right? Second test. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." Alright? The second test, what you want to do, you want to see someone's longevity. You want to see that endurance in someone's life. And endurance is an important quality in the Christian life, and it's one that God produces in us. Endurance. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "Not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience." And every once in a while, I'll come across a Christian that says, "Don't pray for patience because bad things are going to happen to you." Right? Ever had someone say that? "Don't pray for patience because something bad will happen to you." Can I tell you something? You guys have been around the block a few times. Bad things are going to happen anyways, right? Well, you don't have to worry about praying for it. But as we go through the hard times in life, we build up endurance. What happens in our life, and like I said, some of you have been around the block a few more times than I have, that your faith should be stronger because you can look back in your life and say, "God, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. Lord, you answered prayer. You did this. You did that. You got me through this. And I got on the other side. And so where I'm at now, God, I know you're going to see me through this." You have endurance because of what God has brought you through. But God produces in us that endurance. Paul tells the Philippians something, same thing, but slightly different. He says, "I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, there's been times in my life where, you know, I've had unsaved people look at me and say, "How in the world did you get through that?" It's only through the grace of God. Right? And over the years, when I look at the unsaved, my heart breaks for them because how do they make it through without the Lord? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how the unsaved do it. And they struggle. And in here, Christ will enable me to do that. And we, as we turn around and we look at those who are false teachers or those who are sharing false doctrines, what happens oftentimes, we see this in churches, that sometimes they'll come in, and you know, it'll be a parishioner or it'll be something, and all of a sudden, there's a sort of a big hoopla, or there's a big sort of flash in the pan, and guess what? They end up leaving. They don't have that endurance. Be careful. That all of a sudden you'll turn around and it'll be the latest new sensation or the latest speaker, and they'll come on and everyone's like, "Ooh, wow, ooh," and they all kind of, "Woo, look at this. This is the new thing." I'm always kind of careful of always the new thing. Is it going to last? Because the things of God is going to last. Look for endurance. John tells us, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." If God is in something and he's blessing it, then it's going to endure. All right? We got time for one more here. Back in 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "They are not of the world." Talking about the false teachers. "They are not of the world. Therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them, and we are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us." Well, he's saying something very simple here. Now look, there is an earthly wisdom. There's a philosophy in the world that you see today. And what happens is, for the unsaved, there's an appeal to it. For the world, it kind of makes sense. But as a Christian, because you have the Holy Spirit in your life, because you know God's Word, you kind of look at it and you kind of scratch your head. You ever done that? Kind of, how's this all fit together? But the multitude, the crowd, the world looks at it and says, yeah, this is great. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 13 and 14. Paul talks to the Corinthians here, and he talks about that in here, there's an earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And they aren't always the same thing. It says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and we hear something, and we'll get that spirit of agreement. Have you ever done that? Or maybe you've gone through it and you listen to someone, and you're like, that just doesn't sound quite right. You ever had that? Something's just, I can't put my finger on it maybe, but there's just something that's just not right. There was a lady that we knew that was attending a church down the road. And she was down there and there's something going on, and their pastor was on vacation or was gone. And she goes, well, we're going to come to your church. And so she came, and I knew her, and I welcomed her. I said, glad you're here, and gave her a hug and all this. And she turned around, and she's, we just preached the gospel. And afterwards, she's like, wow. Because I've been attending a church down there. She goes, I've never heard the gospel before. And she goes, I've never had the Bible explained before. She's like, almost like a kid in a candy store. She was just fat and happy that Sunday, spiritually. Because she heard the words of truth that spoke to her spirit, that she was hungry for. And she goes, this is where I need to be, because I'm not getting it where I was. They talk about social issues in the last church, and talk about all these good things, and they were talking about all. She goes, but the Word of God was missing. Right? And the world talks about all these different things, and their idea of love. It talks about its idea of spirituality. It talks about its ideas. And look, there are churches that are filled with people who aren't hearing the truth. You're a Christian, you're listening, and you should hear, your spirit should be in unity with what's being taught. It satisfies. Proverbs put it this way, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We live in a day and age where there's a lot of worldly pressure for the church to change. Change our message. Folks, we can't change our message. Because our message is the Word of God. The message brings life. It transforms. So in our eyes, if we go down through, we start looking at these tests. Right? When you're listening to someone, you're watching someone, maybe you're reading someone, right? And like I said, put me up to the test and say, okay, Pastor, here we go. Well, the first one is, what do they say about Jesus? What do they say about Jesus? Is he God? Did he come in the flesh? Did he die for our sins? Is he coming back again? What do they do about Jesus? Second one is their endurance in their life, in their walk. Do we see God blessing them? in their ministries. And the third one is that does the words they speak line up with God? Does His Spirit talk to my spirit in a way of truth? Or is it just earthly wisdom? Right? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the truth that's contained in it, Lord. Use it, Lord, to transform us. Lord, I pray we guard our hearts. Lord, there's a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of false truths that's out there. Lord, help us to discern what is right and what's from You. Lord, help us to cling to Your truth. And Lord, Your word is true. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.